We have reached our third and final panel for the morning session. And then you can start getting excited for lunch because I just took a look downstairs. Looks great. So moderating our third panel is Ted Strauss, co-founder of Trudat, my co-founder, and co-organizer of ODX 13. Ted has a background in psycholinguistics, which inspired a lot of his work on Trudat, and currently is a developer and technologist and entrepreneur. So I'll pass it over to Ted.
Thank you. This third panel is called Future Avenues of Open Data, and the idea is that notice there's, you know, in the technology space there are dozens if not hundreds of different new platforms, program libraries, technology pursuits, and open data being a kind of a newer field, some of those technologies aren't getting involved with open data. So this panel is about bringing up some technological topics that don't get as much attention within the open data community, and to find out how and whether those ideas are going to fit in. So our panelists are Corey Cheevers, Tracy Lurio, and Petko Valchev. Corey Cheevers is a PhD student in the department in the Faculty of Biology, or the Department of Biology at McGill University. His research focuses on the development of forecasting risk and impact assessment models of non-native species by combining computational simulations with biological and sociological data. His research aims to provide decision support to resource managers and policymakers. Tracy Lurio is a postdoctoral fellow at the Geomatics and Cartographic Research Center. She's currently working on the SHRC partnership development project entitled Mapping the Legal and Policy Boundaries of Digital Cartography, which is part of the GCRC's research stream of law, society, and cyber cartography. Tracy also has many, many accolades that I can't get into all of them. And Petko Valchev is associate professor at UCAM. He holds a PhD in computer science from Joseph Fourier University in Grenoble, France. Currently, he heads the Knowledge Acquisition, Management, and Dissemination Lab of UCAM, as well as the Knowledge Processing Access of the Montreal Cognitive Sciences Institute. His research focuses on methods for knowledge discovery in structured and semi-structured data, especially linked data, as well as on applications of these to software, biomedical, telecom, legal data sets. So we'll be proceeding next with Corey's presentation.
Oh, right, I've got my own mic. Thanks, Ted.
I'm pretty honored to be on a panel with two real PhDs. So PhD candidate really just means PhD wannabe. But it's pretty great. I'll try to do my best. So making predictions about the future is a notoriously dangerous kind of endeavor to engage on. So I've put here some possible trajectories. It's actually just a random walk for the future of open data. And I think kind of the best we can do is think about where we are now and try to extrapolate into the future. And so I hope we're kind of on one of those upper trajectories, and we're going to just keep getting better. So what I'll do is I'll just focus on where we are kind of right now, right at this moment, and think about hopefully we'll keep going in that direction. Open data in science is something that interests me quite a bit now, especially because of a bit of disillusionment I had when I started doing scientific research. And that was that I came into science with the understanding that science should really be a bastion of openness. And that everything is about sharing and building knowledge. And so that data is being shared and results are being shared. I found out that this isn't always really the case in science. And it turns out that there are a lot of incentives in place that kind of are holding back openness in science, both in terms of sharing data, but also even in terms of sharing the results and communicating the results of scientific research. But however, the future looks bright. So I think we are on one of those upward trajectories. And there are a lot of projects currently underway that I think are really going to foster a bit of a sea change in the way that science is conducted. And so I've just listed a couple of those here. So the first is the Public Library of Science. And this is a publisher that is open access, an open access publisher of scientific research funding findings, which is particularly important because a lot of the research that's being published by academics is being locked away inside, behind paywalls and behind in places that are not accessible to the public, and for that matter, sometimes other researchers who are looking to get that information. Mendeley is another interesting project, which is an open tool to share literature and to manage literature and references and stuff like that for scientists. And then Figshare, I just wanted to, was just kind of a random selection. There's a lot of really interesting projects going on, but I just wanted to highlight a couple that I think are particularly interesting. And Figshare is one that's particularly interesting because what we see as the output of scientific research in terms of a published journal article is not really, anyone who's practiced science knows that that's not the whole story, right? There's a lot of scientific analysis that goes on before publication, and you go down many roads, and you hit dead ends, and that often doesn't get communicated in the end product. So Figshare is an interesting project that allows scientists to upload their results as they go, and so they can share kind of lab notes and some figures and data as they're analyzing their data. So the whole process of scientific discovery is more transparent, and you can see all those dead ends that scientists go to. There should probably be some sort of meter of how much hair was pulled out along the way. You could kind of measure it as a pile of pulled out hair. And then finally, our Open Science is a project I'm really interested in, and it's a group of people who are working to make data more available and easily accessible to scientists to analyze. And it was mentioned in some of the earlier panels that if data exists in a format that needs to be scraped or dealt with in some awkward way, then it's not really open. So I would kind of argue that we API all the things. So for those of you who don't know, API is an application programming interface, and I think that any truly open data should have a well-documented, machine-readable way to interact with that data. And the people at our OpenSci are actually wrapping all of the, they keep building the different APIs that they have wrappers for that are accessible via the R programming language. And so it's a very, very cool project. So I kind of alluded to the fact that science is, openness in science is kind of a two-pronged affair. Openness in terms of the data that's collected by scientists, but also openness in terms of the results of scientific research. And we can actually look at the results of scientific research as data itself. So this is a project I'm working on currently with a colleague. Actually, he's here right now, Etienne Lodicary. And we were looking at the full text of journal articles to try to assess whether there's trends in kind of statistical reporting and things like that. But the reason I bring it up is it was very much came from a world that is not API all the things. Okay, so we had to go and download PDFs of all these journal articles, and they all have slightly different formats, and we had to pull out the text. So that's not an easily accessible thing at present for scientists to look into, and we think that that's a very rich site for insight into science as it's progressed. So we looked at around 30,000 journal articles in the field of ecology, and we were able to, through this process of scraping those articles, we pulled out around 200,000 p-values, and so we're looking at trends over time in things like this. I'm not going to show any results because we're not certain about them yet, but I think this is an interesting avenue that we can go beyond just the metadata that would be associated with these articles and actually extract insight from the full text. Okay, so data is cool. And having open data is nice, and open publications are nice. But what we really want to do is take that data and derive insights from it. We want to make inferences, and we want to make predictions about phenomena. And so something I'm quite involved in is the R programming language. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's an open source language for statistical analysis. And it has a huge community of developers that are contributing additional packages and functionality to this language. And it can do just about any kind of analysis, number crunching, plotting, visualization that you can imagine. And if it doesn't do exactly what you're looking for, you can go in, look at the code, you can make it do exactly what you want to do, if you're so inclined. So R is pretty neat, and we've actually started a community in Montreal around people who use R. And the idea behind that community was to get people who are actually hacking on data, get them to come together through both academia and the real world, as I'll call it here, everything outside of academia. And the idea is to just share tools and knowledge about R and about data modeling, data hacking, et cetera. And so we come together to collaborate, to bring the awesome, as I put it. So we had a nice data dive just on Tuesday, and so it was really fun. And so I'm really looking forward to this afternoon's data dive because it's very cool. We just looked at some open data sets and just started playing around to see what insights we could find. And so I just wanted to show a picture of all the beautiful data geeks. This was at a prior meetup, and there's Etienne there talking about some visualization tools that you can do in R. So those were the things I wanted to talk about, just open data and science, that it's both data and the results, and R is a cool thing that hopefully we'll get to talk about a little bit more. Thanks.
This one before.